Good morning, everyone. Oh, I'm sorry there, Hank. Hold on. I'm a little taller than some people. Holy Spirit, you've been speaking to us this morning. And it's just a confirmation of what you put on my heart to share today. And so, Lord, just continue to reveal to us the depths of your love. Bring that revelation to us, Lord. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm going to sort of give you a summary of what took place at the Northeast Leaders Gathering that we had here several weeks ago. I am working on the transcription of the actual summary that was stated, but I'm not finished with that. So when I get that, I'll post that or email it out so everybody has that information. Anyway, I want to go back to our previous conferences. We had a prophetic conference in September of 2019, and that was, to me, a very profound conference because it wasn't just a lot of information that was being given to people, but people were actually getting revelation, and they were being released into a prophetic dimension that they'd never been released before. And anyway, and so to me, that was just something that we need to remember, that the prophetic ministry is very important in God's house. And then the next conference that we had was in October of 2022. It was called No Other Foundation, A Cultural Conflict. And I just want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, 19 to 22. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." And I wanted to just point that out. It talks about the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And for years I had a real struggle with trying to understand what that actually meant, because I had seen men who are in those positions, it seemed like the emphasis was their gift and their position, and it wasn't Christ. And but the Lord helped me through these conferences, gave me understanding, and it's very simple. It's just so very simple. The foundation of the prophets and the apostles, first, is that we need to know that everyone in this room and everyone that comes to Christ can hear the voice of the Lord. It says, "My sheep hear my voice." And so that's what the prophetic ministry, the prophetic gift, is for, encourage all of us to know that we can hear the voice of the Lord. And the apostolic ministry is even simpler, but it's probably the most difficult. Is now that you know and hear the voice of the Lord and he tells you something, now you have to lay your life down to do it. Because Jesus was sent, or he was apostled from heaven, from the Father. And he was sent to do the will of the Father, not his own thing, and not to build his own ministry, right? And so he came, like was just said, Brad just said, he came voluntarily to lay his life down. And so that's what the foundation of our faith is, hearing the voice of the Lord and be willing to lay our life down to follow him. Isn't that simple? But it's not that easy. It takes faith. The following year, October 7th, that's a date that's been implanted in my mind and probably most of your minds, what happened on October 7th, 2023, what happened in Israel and the invasions from Hamas and the Palestinians into Israel, and the slaughter of human beings was just incredible. And when they did that, there was something else that came out. There was an incredible unleashing of anti-Semitism worldwide. And it's even increasing, and we're seeing it right here in our own nation. And we're even seeing it come up in the church. So then in September 2024, who remembers the name of that conference? Spiritual warfare. It's almost like the Lord was speaking to us, not only in the things that we were doing, but what was going on in the world at the same time. I was just having a conversation with my sister Jean before the service started. We need to be reminded that we are spiritual warfare. And that is because Jesus Christ is in you. He's in me. And Jesus said, they hated me, and guess what? They're going to hate you as well. The following year, September 10th, Charlie Kirk's assassination. It's a profound thing, not just to this nation, but the entire world. This man was known throughout the world. The assassination of a man who loved people and was willing to go out and tell them that and say, you have value, you have purpose. And it's not necessarily in your education. The Lord Jesus was first in his life, and he, as such a young man, and now past, has made a profound statement to the world. And then on top of it, his wife, at his memorial service, I think just blew the world away, where she said, I forgive the assassin of my husband. So here we are just a couple of weeks ago, and we're prayerfully considering the next conference, and then as things were coming out in our discussions, Owen Carey, as you know, he's always typing everything and putting things together, and he's listening for the Lord. He's listening to what the Lord is saying to each and every individual, because he knows that God is speaking to every individual, and it's not just his ministry and his own thing, what he wants. He's listening for the Lord through the people. And we should do the same. We should be listening to every single member and what they're saying, because the Lord can speak to each of you, and he can speak through you, and he can instruct us and direct us, etc., etc. So I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of what was discussed and what was shared toward the end of our get-together. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 4. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 4. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members in the body, and fellow partakers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now think about that. What Paul was preaching is that the Gentile nations are now being accepted into the Jewish community. And he's calling the body the Jewish community, okay? It's the Gentiles are coming into the Jewish community. And that was totally blowing the minds of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would just could not grasp that the unclean and the dirty and the sinners and the prostitutes and all the ones that Jesus was reaching out to are now being welcomed into God's kingdom. Jesus himself demonstrating a love that was going beyond their comprehension, beyond their measuring tape. They had to throw that out. If not, they were holding on to it so hard that they lost what Jesus was saying. And that's exactly what we're fighting, or what we're dealing with right now, at that same spirit that does not want these two groups to come together. He says he wants to make a new man. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Hold on a second. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise that God gave to Abraham. I'm going to make you a father of nations. You would think that because they knew Abraham as their father, and the Lord said, I'm going to make you a father of nations, that it's more than just us. But they couldn't get beyond themselves. And that was all prophesied. I mean, God knew that. He prophesied it. This is the way it's going to be. Your heart's going to be hardened. He says in verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Didn't we? Big emphasis today on the power of God. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. So this was a mystery that was hidden, and God was revealing it through Christ, that he's calling all the nations to himself. And boy, did it cause a conflict. First with Jesus himself. A Jew, the Messiah. Their measuring stick did not go that far. Thank you, Brad, for that word picture. I appreciate that. So there is a wisdom that God wants to make known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. See, because that's basically where the battle is, right? It's in the spirit. And those spirits and demons that are wrestling with God and his mighty angels, they're trying to influence us to follow him and not the Lord. They're trying to influence us not to love one another, but to hate one another. Verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. God's eternal purpose being worked out through Jesus Christ. And here we are, it's still being worked out. And we all have a part to play in it because each of us are a member of his body. Let me just switch quickly to Romans 11. Don't want to read too much there, but let's start in verse 11. I'm probably going to read a lot. Romans 11, starting in verse 11. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall today. He's talking about the Jews. May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation came to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches to the Gentiles, again, he's talking about the Jewish people who rejected Jesus Christ. How much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnified my ministry. And if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive branch, meaning the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. Here we were grafted into something that was eternal in God's purpose. And there are many who have an attitude with that. They've got an issue with, what are these branches doing here? But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Isn't that what replacement theology right there? These guys were gone. Now it's us, the Gentiles and the church. I don't know if you know, but that is prevalent in much of the church today. The theory of replacement theology. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold the kindness and the severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. This was the mystery. So that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Hallelujah. Back to Ephesians. Starting in verse 13. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, and that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. We heard that today. In the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. God wants us to know the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of his love. And it goes beyond knowledge. So that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Wow. So at the gathering with the leaders, the question was, so how do we teach the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge? How do we do that? You can't. You can't teach it. You have to demonstrate it. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come down and say, oh, I love you guys. Follow me, and then go back up to heaven. For God so loved the world, he gave. He demonstrated. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 to 5. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Paul knew that he could not teach the love of God. It had to be demonstrated. 1 Timothy 1:12-16. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him. Paul wanted to be a demonstration of the love of God, because love is patient. Mark 12:41-44, Jesus is pointing out someone who is demonstrating their love to God. Mark 12:41-44. And he sat down opposite the treasury. He began observing how the people were putting money in the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, and she had all she owned. She put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Wow, what a demonstration. She didn't say anything about her love, but she gave everything that she had to the Lord. Matthew 26:6-13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of a very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done this good deed to me. For you always will have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her." Wow. Here's another one. John 13. Starting in verse 3. I could probably read the whole Bible with God's demonstration of his love. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he came forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel. He girded himself, then poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them clean with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Oh, Simon said, well then, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely cleaned, and you are clean. But not all of you, for he knew one was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken the garments, reclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that Jesus did. So some of these verses are just small examples of the demonstration of God's love that surpasses knowledge to the people of the world. The others are demonstrations by those who respond to that love. This is the sense that we had at the conference. Now, it wasn't a conference. It was the leadership prayer gathering 3 weeks ago. That the Lord is about to increase the demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom through the church so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. I was getting that sense when Pat said, buckle up. Is that what you said, Pat? Where is Pat? There she is. Did you say buckle up? Where was I? So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. In other words, we are going to comprehend in a greater measure the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ so that we may be filled to the fullness of God. One of the current things I have seen on the internet, and I'm sure many of you have heard, but since what happened on October 7th in 2023 in Israel, there were Christians here in the United States. They laid their jobs down, they got on a plane, and they went to Israel, and they began to help the families whose husbands were fighting to harvest the crops that were going bad on the trees, so that the people could have food. And they didn't want pay, they didn't want anything, they just wanted to help. And the Jewish community were just blown away because they were saying, wow, there are people that actually love us. The country of Israel is hated by so much of the world. And these people come over on their own free will and say, we want to bless you. We want to bless you. The love that passes all understanding. It was being demonstrated to God's chosen people. Because they are going to turn. And it's going to be life from the dead. And again, what Erica Kirk did by forgiving her husband's assassin was just so I just sensed something in the spirit happened when she said that. And the fact that it was on worldwide TV with many of the leaders of the United States, and here she is, I forgive him. She says, that's what my Lord would do. I just want to share a little bit of what I shared last Sunday at the Tenbrook Rehab Center down the street. We had gone there, about 10 of us went down there. And not even realizing at the time what I was sharing, because it had to do with the love of God. But I was just encouraging the people there that were elderly and that their tents were wearing out. And I said, but those who have accepted Jesus, it says, yeah, I quoted from Psalm 92 that those who have received Jesus into their hearts will still flourish in the courts of God. They will still yield fruit in their old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. And I said, there will be two things that we'll do in eternity. We will love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we will love one another. And I gave them two examples of what that looks like because I knew them firsthand. One was my mom when she was about a year before she passed away, I visited her in the nursing home. I'm not sure at that time she recognized who I was. But we're sitting at the table. We're just interacting the way we can. And this lady came over, one of the other patients there, came over to the table, and she picked up my mother's fork and just started eating off of her plate. And I don't know what you think about that, but my mom looked at her and so she picked up another fork and she began to feed her. So without words, there was something in my mother's spirit that was loving this woman. And so, right here, that testimony is being shared again of God can still use us even when we can't even think right. We may get old and sit, you know, whatever it may be, but God can still use you. As long as there's breath flowing through your tent, God can use you. And the other one was Joyce Radcliffe. We've heard many stories, but one of the ones I remember was Joyce used to go around, and she didn't know who her husband was and who the people. She just went around and said, oh, are you okay? Can I pray for you? And she would just start praying for people who she didn't even know. And I mean, that was just something that was in her heart to do. And then she'd go over and sit next to Bill, and she sort of looks at him and said, don't you touch my hand, I'm married. So even in that state, there was a consciousness of loving one another and also being faithful to her husband, who she couldn't even recognize. So there is a sense that we were having at this prayer time that God is going to begin to increase the demonstration of his love. And that is the actual foundation. That is the actual, that is what the gospel is. It's the love of God that cannot be taught. It has to be demonstrated. And he's going to use us. It's like that prophetic word that went around that Claudia read. It says, he's going to extend our lives. He was talking to the elderly people. He's going to extend our lives. And he may do that. Just so people can see you and see the love of Christ. You may not say a word, but just to see you and watch you and say, there's the love of God. There's the love of Jesus in that person. And that's not just speaking to us. It's speaking to the powers and the principalities and heavenly places. And this is what God had purposed from the beginning. That his name and his glory would be proclaimed through these sinners whom he saved and transformed them by the renewing of their minds and filled them with the power of God so that he would be glorified. Pretty cool, huh? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take faith. And God will give us the power to do that. As we walk in faith, he will empower us. Let me just close with John 15, starting in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. My Father, I just thank you for putting all the pieces together for me today and how you've been exhorting us, Lord. How you've been teaching us and showing us. And I just want to pray for direction for this tentative conference that we would have on the gospel of the kingdom and God's purpose and how that plays out and what's going to be the emphasis, Lord. And I just thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in truth. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.